Today we turn to the scripture, as we do each Sunday morning, and today I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 56. If you'd like to follow along, and I strongly encourage you to do so, you'll find this on page 38 of your pew Bible. If you have had any time with the Bible, I hope that this is a story that will be very familiar to you. But let us consider it together. Hear the word of our Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away, so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Immediately he made the disciples get onto the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against the adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, on this Lord's Sabbath, you might legitimately be asking the question, who is this person? I believe that it is human nature to try to understand the identity of ourselves and the identity of each other. Who is this person? Well, you might be asking that of me and my family. You might be asking it most appropriately of Jesus Christ as you consider this morning's scripture lesson. You might turn to your right and your left. You might ask it of the person staring back at you down the pew. And you might ask it of the person you saw this morning from your mirror as you prepared to come to worship today. Who is this person? You might ask it of the person in front of you in the line at the grocery store, that person you see often but with whom you never speak. Who is this person? If you were asked that of me, if you said, "Who am I?" I would probably answer you in any number of ways. In my human pride, I would answer you, "Well, I'm the new pastor of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, and I'm pretty proud of that." I would tell you that I'm the husband of Jane Anderson, who works for the National Park Service in Lakewood, and I'm the proud father of Zach Morris, a 12-year-old who is just about to start the 7th grade in a few weeks. I would tell you that I am the son of William Thomas and Miriam Morris, that I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, that I worked as a park ranger for 22 years, and that I recently graduated from Wesley Theological Seminary while serving a small church in Northern Virginia. And upon a little more reflection, I would tell you that I am a sinner, forgiven by God's grace, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a child of God, and an active participant in the kingdom of God. I might tell you any or all of these things about who I am, but I would then also quickly point out to you that it's really not about me, it's about God. And besides, that truly is the point of being together in ministry. Over the next few days and weeks and months, and I pray over those years that we share together, you will get to know me and I will get to know you. You will have many opportunities to know me and Jane and Zach. And for that, I am grateful to be so blessed to be here with you in ministry together. But it really is about God, after all, above all, and through it all. It's about God. I believe that we are called together as a community of faith every Sunday to praise God first and foremost. That's the number one priority. We are also called together to listen to what God has to say to each one of us individually, and also as a family of believers collectively. We will listen for God's self-revelation through the Bible, and we will struggle together to understand and to interpret God's Word. I believe that one of the most sacred tasks that we all face as we come together in worship is to seek God and to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. We are not here to be entertained. We are here seeking God. Some of us will feel the presence of the Spirit in the Bible lesson. Some will find God's message in the sermon. Many will feel God's touch in the music. And some will feel God's hand in the silence of prayer. It's all good, and it's all right. One of the strongest elements of being United Methodists is our belief that each person has his or her own unique way of communicating with Jesus Christ and understanding God's message. We each have our own theology, and we value and respect every one of God's children. I am humbled to be here, to be able to serve God in ministry with all of you. And it is with equal humility that I will learn from you and teach you. And together we will seek to become stronger and truer disciples of Jesus Christ, and we will seek to carry out that great commission. It might take a long time to really get to know me and my family, but I believe that it will take a lifetime and then some to truly know Jesus Christ. Who is this person? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? This is the whole point behind the good news, this New Testament of Jesus Christ. That is the point. But today, if we focus on the scripture reading, we come away with several insights into the identity of Jesus Christ. Who is this person? Surely he is the one who has come from God to announce the coming kingdom. Jesus is the promised Messiah who made credible his radical claims of transforming and unconditional love through the many miracles he performed throughout the Holy Land. He's the guy who took the sack lunches of two or three people, some five loaves of bread and two fishes, and was able to feed some several thousand people until their bellies were full. After that spread, his followers were able to collect 12 bushel baskets full of leftovers, all from five loaves and two fish. Who is this Jesus guy? Well, he is also the one who is able to walk on water, literally walk on water, to calm the stormy seas and to quiet the fears of his 12 followers, that ragtag band of apostles who never really seemed to get it. They never seemed to fully understand and know Jesus' true identity. One of the many lessons we might take away from this passage of Mark is how Jesus himself lived a life that is perhaps best illustrated as a lifestyle of the cross. Jesus lived a life of the cross. Look at that cross as a simple geometric figure. One short horizontal piece that is bisected and supported by the longer vertical piece. This is how Jesus lived, and I believe this is how each of us ought to live also. That horizontal piece can be thought of as Jesus' humanity. Jesus was a human being after all. God came to earth as Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a human male, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus lived and worked. He wept and he laughed with us on the horizontal plane of this planet, Earth. Although we often focus on Jesus' role as the Son of God, performing miracles among the people, we should also pay attention to the fact that Jesus himself got tired. Jesus was exhausted. And at several points in the Gospel, we read about Jesus going off to a deserted place to be by himself. Jesus understood that he needed to recharge. He needed to recreate himself, to recreate in order to return to the mission fields and to spread the message of God's coming kingdom. We should be absolutely clear that the Bible is not telling us that recreation is its own best reward. It is telling us that play is essential, but not as an end in itself. If we take to heart Jesus' message, we need to get away, to be by ourselves, to be with our families, so that we will be better able to return to follow Jesus that much more closely, to work more diligently at bringing about God's kingdom on earth. And this is the place where the horizontal piece of the cross meets the vertical piece in our lifestyle model of Jesus' life. Jesus was fully human. Of that there is no doubt. But Jesus was also fully and completely divine as well. When Jesus was preaching the good news, when he was performing miracles, he was carrying out God's will, not his own. And when Jesus went off into the wilderness to be alone and to recharge his battery, he was also first and foremost recharging by reconnecting to God. When Jesus was alone, He was talking to God. He was always talking to God. Jesus prayed a whole lot. This vertical arm of the cross, this piece that supports and focuses Jesus' humanity and His work on this earth, is the relationship that Jesus maintained with God the Father. The longer vertical arm of the cross represents the spiritual disciplines that we should practice daily in order for ourselves to stay close to Jesus. This supporting piece in our lives represents the time we spend in prayer, the time we spend studying the Bible, in reading about other people through history who have struggled with their faith, the time we spend in ministry to others, and the precious time we spend in worship on Sunday mornings together. Jesus lived a lifestyle of the cross, humanity supported by divinity. And so should we. Certainly, I've been talking about the identity of Jesus Christ as displayed in Mark's Gospel, but I've also come back around to the question that I asked you earlier in the sermon. When you look in the mirror in the morning, when you're all alone, do you ever ask yourself that question? Who is this person? The answer is yours to ponder, because rightly, that's between you and God, isn't it? But I wonder if when you look in the mirror in the morning, if you ever consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you were to put yourself in today's scripture lesson, would you identify most closely with the apostles? Would you be the person who asked Jesus, "What are we supposed to do, Lord? How are we supposed to feed all these people?" Would you be the person who rolled up her sleeves and gathered the meager offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish? That person who had all the faith in the world that Jesus was fully capable of taking that offering and using it to transform people's very lives? Would you be the one cowering in the bottom of the boat, afraid of what the world was throwing at you? Would you be the one about whom it was said they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about their loaves, but their hearts were hardened? When you look in the mirror, what answer comes back when you ask, "Who is this person?" I hope you'll consider that question in more ways than one. And I pray that you might ask it of the person next to you in the pew. And you might even ask it of the person in line in front of you at the grocery store, that person you see so often, and yet that person with whom you've never spoken. You see, in my mind, all of these questions are interrelated, and they all begin with that central question, "Who is this person?" when we ask it of Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Because when you know in your heart that Jesus Christ is that man who died on the cross some 2,000 years ago so that your sins would be forgiven, when you know that Jesus Christ is truly God in all three persons, you have already begun to live that lifestyle of the cross that Jesus Himself lived. You are fully human, living the best life you know how on this earth. But you are also moving on to Christian perfection, following the risen Lord in that lifelong quest toward divinity. When you are convinced that Jesus' life on the earth was the beginning of the kingdom of God, you will listen for God's call on your life and you will respond with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole spirit. You will see yourself as an active participant in God's kingdom. And when you look in that mirror and you know yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will seek ways to make more disciples of Jesus, You will seek to live out that great commission to share the good news with all those around you by your words and perhaps most importantly, by your actions. When you're alone and you look in the mirror and you ask yourself that question, who is this person? And when you can honestly answer, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will have had your life transformed by God's grace. You will know the hardest work you can ever imagine, but you will also know the deepest joy that you could ever imagine as well. All this is possible, not because of anything you have done or could ever do. No, all this is possible simply because God loves you no matter what. And God wants more than anything to be in relationship with you, to share with you God's love. I believe that it is human nature to try to understand our own identity and the identity of those around us. And as I look out at each of you this morning, as I try to remember your names and get to know you, I know three things with absolute certainty. First, I know that I am wonderfully blessed to be here with my family, to be serving God in ministry with all of you. Second, I know that God loves you unconditionally because you are a child of God. And third, I know that God is calling you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and thank you for the many blessings in our lives. Help us to listen for the sound of your voice in whatever way you speak to each of us. Excite us to seek and to find our identity in you as your children and as disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us live in such a way that we are, each of us, a living testimony to the power of your love. May your Spirit move us in new and transforming ways. We ask for your continuing blessings in the name of our risen Lord Jesus. Amen.